Hi there, Adam Cook from GodAsAGeek.com here, just wanting to apologise for the podcast you're about to hear. Nothing horrendous was said, but unfortunately we did have technical difficulties throughout the recording, which has led to my microphone just dropping in and out throughout. I've done my best to fix it, but it really was a bit of a mess, so I'm going to apologise and just wanted to say that if you are listening to us for the very first time, this is not a regular thing. Normally the podcast sounds great, and you know, is generally just great. But please apologise. Much to this podcast this week, luckily, is Chris talking about the games because they're the ones he's reviewed and covered, and I've chimed in. And I'm still going to have chime in. There'll be, obviously, we do chat, but I say we had massive technical problems, which we're going to be looking into this whole week so that next week it doesn't happen again. I can only apologise and hope that it's worth listening to and that you still have the patience to get through. It's not like there's minutes where I'm not speaking. It's just sometimes I'll cut in and out and come back. It's a very strange thing. I think it might have been a processor problem. I'm not going to bore you with all that, but I am going to say, hopefully you enjoy the show and please bear with us. And again, I'm so sorry. Hello, my name is Adam Cook and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. Is it a podcast if there's just one person on it? Well, thank Christ that's not the case, because Chris White has saved the day. Hello, Chris.
Hello. Yes, I'm here. After a bit of an absence, I'm glad to be back talking about games, because there's been a few of them.
There certainly has. And just right out the gate, we're going to say that this podcast, if you are one of those people that's like, as soon as it drops, I'm going to listen, it's going to be a little bit later than usual because of embargoes. And we thought, what we've done in the past is we've, like, cause for example, on Patreon, we send the podcast out early to people there, but we've had to explain this week because you're going to get it at the same time. And in fact, it's kind of late because embargoes lift this Wednesday as we record it. So we've been able to pre-record this lovely podcast, haven't we, Chris?
Yes, we have. Yes, defo.
And we've got, let's just straight out of the gate say we've got four games to talk about. One that will be out very soon, one that will be out soonish, one that's already out, and one that's a long time in the making. I say let's start with the biggest one, the one that's out soon, because you reviewed it, Devil May Cry 5, Chris.
Yes, let's talk about it.
Now, whew. I have been quite critical of the demo of this game.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I would say so, yeah.
Chris, I've never said this on a podcast before.
Oh, I'm bracing. But
I'm going to say something right now. I was wrong.
Oh, man, and Gary's not here to hear it.
No, he'll hear it, presumably, but it'll be too late to wind me up about it.
Yes.
I heard that they would like the original, obviously, the producer, I think, that's back for this, the game.
Yes.
He's back now. And,
yeah.
And he like, I think he visited Ninja Theory and chatted to them and stuff. And I don't think this is like Ninja Theory's game.
No.
Really.
No.
But I definitely think influence has been taken from some of the maybe cutscenes and story beats, Chris.
Yeah,
do you think?
The attitude of it is very much like Ninja Theory's.
What blew me away, actually, I'm not really one of these people that's like, oh, the graphics. It does look amazing, like that RE engine. Genuine. I mean, we know this from Resident Evil 2 and like, well, RE engine games like Resi 7. We know how good it can look.
Yeah.
It's not just how it looks. There are... I'm not going to go into spoiler territory because the game's not out as a time of recording. There are some... boss battles and just non-boss battles, but there are some boss battles where it's like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing on screen.
Yeah. I mean, it is the Resi 2 engine, but what it does is push it to the absolute maximum because Resident Evil's not the fastest of games, and there's not loads happening at once. But in Devil May Cry 5, the sheer amount of things happening on a screen constantly, it never dipped once for me. The frame rate of 60 frames was constant throughout. There were no issues, no bugs, no glitches. There literally was nothing. And the boss fights are insane. Like, every boss feels different. They all employ different tactics, and it's fantastic. Yep. Like, absolutely. Like, the combat throughout is just insane. And for me, not one part of the game dipped in quality. Like, they always found a way to to top it or to bring something in which you haven't seen before, and it just constantly evolves throughout, right until the very end. And that is something I wasn't expecting. Like, I wasn't expecting to be blown away by this. I mean, I never played the demo, so I had nothing to kind of go in with. It was just straight in, and just I became so, I just so the absolutely adored
the demo
it,
so. Is like mission 2-ish, I think.
Right.
It ends in the kind of first boss battle, like the guy who can spit fireballs out of his stomach, like the big giant colossus.
Oh, right, yes, yeah.
So it kind of starts, and it's that level, which in context, when I played that level again, having played like the prologue and the levels leading up to it, actually worked great.
Yeah.
But the demo, I just didn't feel it. It didn't feel right, but it does. Let's talk about this. There's Nero plays a certain way. Nero plays like a traditional Devil May Cry, I suppose, is closest to it. V, however, is very interesting, Chris.
Very, yeah. He never lifts a finger unless... as V, you are controlling two demons. One's called Griffin and one's... called something else, but he's basically a panther.
Shadow? Is it Shadow?
Shadow, yes, Shadow. So pressing the X button controls a Griffin, pressing Y controls Shadow, and Griffin is obviously he's not a Griffin, but he's an eagle.
Lightning bird.
Yeah, so he fires lightning bolts. With the whole game, you upgrade, so he does have certain upgrades, but he'll do that, whereas your panther, Shadow, he'll attack... like a melee kind of thing, and you're basically controlling both of them by pressing those buttons at a time, whilst you as V walk around, try and dodge any attacks yourself, but you don't physically hit anyone until the final blow, which they're not capable of doing. You have to press like B and RB or something like that to then go in, thrust your cane through them and kill them. But it's not as simple as that. That, you know, if you find that they're running low on health, you have to walk towards them, near them, so they get your energy and they can refuel their health. There's Nightmare, which is like this big monstrosity which you can summon by pressing LB, and you build up your Devil Trigger.
Essentially, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, kind of. You have to build it up.
Yeah. And
because I've forgotten what it's called. What's it called when you rev your chainsaw? Is that... I'm confusing mechanics now, because like there is so much to this game. Like, I don't know how spoilery we want to get. Like, there's
no, I think, because the thing is, right, I've written the review, and like, obviously with Dante, because everyone knows there's three playable characters and Dante is one of them. So the mechanics, you need to talk about them, really. Like, so Dante, the way he differs, obviously he's fighting himself. He's not using any demons really, other than himself. So you've got in your left trigger changes the weapons, and the right, like the guns, so you can flick through certain guns. You start off with ebony and ivory like normal, and your shotgun. There are other stuff which we won't talk about. And then with the right, you've got your sword, you've got what's the other thing you start off with? Something else. You like your kind of metal gauntlets and stuff where you could use them to punch, and you use your melee that way. There are other things added later, which in the scenes that they're added in, they're just fucking spectacular. And when you get to use them, they're just phenomenal. So you can switch in and out of what weapons you choose for your guns and what weapons you choose for your kind of melee, and you can level them up and choose how powerful they are as it goes on. But you know, that's the way Dante does it. It's very kind of straightforward in terms of a protagonist. That's how he acts, whereas V uses demons without really fighting himself.
You know how these games have, like, I don't want to say speedrunners, but like people who just get like... I mean, the thing about Devil May Cry, it's always been kind of about like, right, so you get your playthrough done and then you start stacking up, like getting on the difficulty levels and the highest one, and you basically, it's about like controlling the game really in that respect. Like, you control the enemies with how good you are.
Yeah.
But with V, I feel like that's going to be... there's going to be some really interesting runs people are going to be putting up on YouTube and stuff. Because as you said, like, Nero, and obviously you collect red orbs and you unlock abilities, but the red orbs are persistent through the game, but you do have to unlock each character's abilities. And like, that was a surprise to me, because I kind of thought, oh, V is going to be not a spammy character, but V has got abilities for the demons or whatever they're called that you can you summon that yeah. you use.
Yeah.
And there's depth even there, and like there's complexity in. Whereas, say, for example, Nero or maybe an old school Dante, I used to like juggling them. So get them in the air, keep them in the air, and you can still use the grapple kind of thing to move around. So basically, don't let your feet touch the ground.
Yeah.
And sometimes to keep a combo going, maybe you just fire off a quick bullet, you know, to keep it going. Yeah. Whereas I found like what I was doing is almost like old track and field style, like X and Y on the Xbox controllers, like almost tapping the two buttons to get the two demons to start attacking until it got more difficult.
Yes.
And then it was like, no, actually, they're just getting hurt in boss battles. And then you can go over near... What do they call that? There's a term... Is it stalemate?
Yes.
And then it's like, if you're in the menus, it's like, oh, and if your friend is stalemated, and it's like, this is a strange use of the English language, but you know what it means, you know?
Yeah. I mean, what, like... When you've got so much kind of complexity with each character, and then like Nero, as you say, is kind of more your stereotypical Devil May Cry character.
Would you say classic Devil May Cry?
Classic, yes, definitely.
I'm hesitant to say it, but...
But then on top of what we've told you about V and what we've told you about Dante and Nero, you've got another mechanic which... is that, well, for Nero, it's a Devil Bringer, which is a selection of kind of arms, which he connects to himself, and you find out why he's lost his arm through the story. But it's right at the start where you learn about these things called Devil Bringers, and they're different arms which you can buy from, what's the name? Is it Nico, the lady, the girl you're with?
Yeah, Nico.
Yeah, who builds, she likes building them, and you get a lot of different variations of the Devil Bringer. There's a hell of a lot of different arms you can buy with your red orbs. And then Dante, not only is there all this weaponry to master, it's the different styles in which you can use them as well. So you press, you press your directional buttons on your D-pad to change between kind of like a heavier attack or... a defensive stance, or the trickster, which is like a quick dash where you can move out of the way, so you can use that for faster enemies that are attacking you. So you've got so much to learn, but you never feel overwhelmed. It all introduces it very gradually, and you know there are some levels where you can only play as one of them, and there's some levels where you can choose who you play as. So you're always kind of getting. To
See,
play
when
as,
we first
as all
said
of them.
That spoilers, that's what I was. I wasn't sure whether to say about the choosing. But again, I think it's
kind of to be taken for granted. Like you're going to get to choose because the online elements allow other players to come in on certain levels and be one of the other characters. So
I was wondering what that was because I haven't finished it. Obviously, you have, and there were moments where you can rate your. Well, it's at the beginning of each level. It says like starring, and then it says. For me, it just kept saying the Devil May Cry crew. And I was like, is that like what they're calling the music for this? And then all of a sudden it goes starring and it's like, I don't, what the hell? That looks like someone's username.
Well,
and then
it was weird because I had a journalist that we both know join my game. But like, I never saw him. So I don't know how far into the level he was. He didn't join me where I was. And then there are other times where other people with usernames I had no idea who they were fighting, but they weren't fighting. There was only one occasion where I had someone join me directly where I was. They like later on in one level, I saw them further on than I was. So,
but is it not a ghost of them then? It must be a ghost of them, right?
It's well, I saw the character. It wasn't a ghost. It was them.
No, but so, what I mean is it's not actually matching you to be playing live with them, is it?
Not that I don't think so. I mean,
I just wonder what it's doing.
We've not tried it together, so that might be something. Because I don't.
Yeah, if we selected the same level and tried to start whether, it and pick the opposite character, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether I'd join your game or. Because you won't be playing the game together because.
No, it just
that just
work.
Doesn't make sense, yeah. But I suppose it's a nice idea if you've got friends that want to play with you, but. Like I was quite happy to just go for it on my own, to be honest, because I was just having too much fun, and I was wary that like if they got too ahead of me, then the scene would skip or something like that. But it doesn't.
No,
I don't think it works like that.
No, it doesn't.
You don't work parallel, but you may be part of the same level, but nothing skips. So you get to basically appreciate the whole game as it is, which is
it is
incredible.
A single player game for those that are wondering, worried rather. I just want to, before we move on, I just want to, again, I don't want to say the boss battle in particular. But there was one where it was like, I fucking can't believe what I'm seeing. Like, I was playing on Xbox One X, which obviously is going to look very nice. As you said, hits that 60 and keeps that 60 frames per second. But I don't know how. Like, the technical wizardry that's going on as to how they are keeping
phenomenal.
All these... Yeah. Like, there were just boss battles where, like, I just can't... But I mean, I suppose... You know the news anchor battle in DMC Devil May Cry, Ninja Theory's one?
Yes.
Like think. It's not that. You know, in terms of what's going on screen, I'm talking that kind of thing. But in a modern kind of 4K Xbox One X kind of version of a game, it's mental. And we will be talking about Devil May Cry 5 for a few weeks to come. I think, because obviously once Adam will play it for sure. I don't know if Gary will, because he wasn't sold on the demos, but.
It needs to be like. I really hope this does well, just for the fact that it is a technical marvel and it is incredibly exciting. And the story is, you know, it's typical Devil May Cry, but it's I loved it. I love the fact that they.
I don't know. I think it's all right. So you say typical Devil May Cry, and I sort of go, yeah, but I actually think it's better than typical. I think the story is gripping.
More, it is gripping. I mean, kind of more with the kind of the craziness of it, and also the different. Yeah. Types of demons and the throwbacks stuff like that. There's loads of references and as you expect and stuff. And some of the boss fights, especially towards the end, are just oh my god, like brilliant.
To throw a slight negative in again, I haven't finished it. I think I'm about halfway. I will say the only concern I got at the moment is possibly the portrayal of female characters. Now I need to finish it. There's some camera shots that linger a little bit that. I don't know.
I don't know exactly which ones you're going on about, because there's a couple.
There's one in a van between two females, and I'm like, camera's like, and again, I haven't finished it, but like, I think they might be positioning Nico as bisexual. I'm not sure.
Yes. Yeah, I got that.
But again, I maybe am looking for something that isn't there. I don't know.
But I've got a feeling she mentions something about women, not men. So I think she might. Yeah, I think she's interested in women.
Definitely does. But there's also a scene where she talks to Nero, and then as he walks away, she sort of looks at the camera as if to also be like, "Whoa, blimey!" You know. I don't know.
Let's talk about
a game. That's a conversation for another week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Days Gone. You went to London to play Days Gone.
It's
weird, right? Because I am interested because I want to play this game, but I'm sat here knowing you've played it. I can't remember how much you have played, but also like I don't know what to ask you about it. So it might be easier if you just tell us what you played and what you thought so far.
Well, when I went there, because it's about the event, but it's not about the game. But it's quite interesting. When I got there, I didn't know it was down a particular street, and. The outside, because I couldn't remember what they called their walkers. So when there was like pieces of board outside this building saying like "freak us out," no, and there were loads of like I put a piss tree on it on our God is a Geek.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah,
and like, and I didn't realize. Oh shit, what's going on in there? And then I walked down to where the normal entrance was, and it was closed. So I was like, oh god, I can't be at the wrong place. And then I walked past, and then this bloke walks out of a clipboard, and I'm like, brilliant, saw it. So I walked through, and there were like oil drums with like fire lit in them, so the smoke was coming off, and it was proper like a post-apocalyptic, like it was just really well done. And then getting inside, and finally getting to play it after, like I'm really up on this game. Like before I went, I was very excited because. I love stuff like this. I love post-apocalyptic. I love zombies. I love Sony first-party games. So, the last ones we've had, stuff like God of War, Spider-Man, Horizon, that bar is high, you know. And we're getting into an age where there's a bar that's been set. So you kind of hope that they'll match it. But anyway, the game itself, it was about 3 hours I spent with it. The creative director said specifically it's a 30-hour game, roughly.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that's a thing.
That is a thing. That sure is a thing.
Yeah, so with 3 hours, it's like, how much I'm actually going to see. And basically, I got to play some story missions, some other bits and pieces. And what I really wanted to see was how the hordes work, because we've all shot zombies in games, and you know it resembled The Last of Us for a good while to start with, like that world that's... I mean, with being in like the woodlands and stuff, there's a lot of forestry and a lot of like grass around and trees, and the zombies, some of the freakers for the sake of the game, and there's a lot of different varieties, but they're all kind of similar to start with, so it just felt like that The Last of Us part two. But then you kind of see there are your typical like get credits to level up stuff. The crafting system is very reminiscent of The Last of Us, the way you do it in the menus and stuff like that. But then the first hour or so was just playing through the tutorials and seeing the near the start of the game, so getting used to the motorbike and stuff like that. Then it skipped forward about 4 or 5 hours, and I got to see 2 hours of just getting stuck into the open world of it and seeing how the bike worked and how you would refill the gas if you're running low and how to take care of it a bit. And then you start to wander around this open world of Oregon and see, like, come across hordes. And that is when, like, you start to shit yourself a bit, because there was one moment where it announced there was a horde, like, around, but I didn't know where it was. On the minimap, it's got like a little icon, but then when you actually see it, it's like shit. It's like, I'm not even going there, because they all start to run at you if they see you. So you've got elements of stealth in there, which is great. And as you play through the story missions, they were very kind of go here, pick this up, do this. Very generic for an open world game. But I can't really critique it. Because it felt only a couple of hours really of like the actual open world stuff, but there are some nice ideas with like the menus. I know it's a silly thing to say, but the menus, like, you've, instead of like R2ing through them all and doing that, if you use your touchpad and swipe up, it brings up your inventory. If you swipe right, it brings up your map. If you swipe left, it brings up your skill trees and stuff like that. And you swipe down, it brings up your crafting. So it's very easy to get into them, and kind of when you're on the move constantly in this, because you do a lot of running around, a lot of hiding, it's very good to kind of just get that done, skip that. But with the 2 hours as it goes on, the enemy types, they aren't just like freakers that run at you. There's these weird, creepy things called newts, and they're essentially children. Like, they're children.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this in the video,
And they, like, they're sitting on the rooftops just watching you. But if you get too close, they'll launch at you. Like, so that's, like, terrifying. And not just the freakers that... Go on, sorry.
The question I have about this game is this a survival game or not?
No, I wouldn't say so.
Because you have to refuel your bike and stuff, right?
Yeah,
is it more like The Last of Us, where it's a big game, but you're going through the world with a linear throughput, you know, to the end of the story, or is it a survival game with a story? That's what I mean.
I wouldn't say it's a survival game.
Okay, that's fine. I don't want it to be. I just was worried it was.
It's very loose. It's like Red Dead, in the sense that you've not got heavy survival mechanics.
High bar there you've just set, but yeah.
Well, yeah, no. It's more Red Dead than Metal Gear Survive.
That's definitely a good thing to hear.
So you've got, you have got gas to refill, but there's shitloads of it everywhere, and it's very easy to do. You just see a red canister, because obviously there's loads of red canisters around with full tanks of gas in. So you just use them to refill, and it's pretty straightforward. There are, like, I forgot what they're called, but they're like, singular crafting parts that you have to pick up, but they're it's just like going around Fallout foot free. It's not heavy survival, is what I'm trying to say. So I don't want people to be put off thinking that it is that. It's very much an open world game.
Is the shooting good? It looks decent. I wouldn't say it looks like God of War good from what I've seen.
No,
it looks all right. And
it is. Yeah,
is the shooting all right?
Yeah, there's a lot of guns in it. and a lot of different kind of guns. So you've got variety for taking out places with stealth or going in guns blazing. And then the more you, because there's a lot of, like, the skill trees are quite good as well, which you read more about it, but in the preview, but
yeah,
they're very, very helpful to as you progress, and they help you with your kind of stealth and stuff like that. So it just feels like an open world game, but it hasn't, like, it didn't blow me away. Like, I wasn't blown away by it, but I did enjoy it. And I think the real kind of meat and bones will be how it kind of keeps you wanting to play, because it's a 30-hour game. It's not like a 12-hour game like The Last of Us. It's a big game, but there are other missions and stuff outside of the main story which you'd follow throughout this setting. There are, like, little side quests and stuff. So it didn't give a lot away, but I left wanting to play more. Like, I'm looking forward to playing more.
Like, pretty, not like massively, oh my god, this game's the best, but you sound fairly positive.
I'm positive,
like,
yeah.
Like you say, you want to play more.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't blown away, but I'm positive about it, and I'm looking forward to play more just to see how it feels in a continuous flow throughout the 30 hours. Like, how,
I mean, that
it
leads us nicely
going.
That leads us nicely into Trails Rising, really, because I think, what did you give it? Was it 8 or 8.5? You liked it, basically, that game.
I enjoyed the gameplay, yes, a lot.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this game, and I'm a massive Trails fan.
A caveat before you start talking about it. This is my first proper Trials game that I've played, so I haven't got anything to really compare it with.
I wonder if that is a thing that makes it different. Because, like, so I'll start with the, I think I mentioned this last week, but the map, the world map, I think is a terrible way of doing levels. Like, I understand why they've done it, because it's like when you go to play a level that just happens to be set in England, it's over the England bit of the globe.
Yeah.
But I feel like the way they used to do it, where it was like, so this is a level, you select it, and it's just a menu. It's just a, like, there seems to be a real move away from games doing just menus. Like, Anthem does this, where it's just like a menu, but you can't have it, like, it can't be simple, like, I just press a menu button.
Yeah.
It's got to be a whole, like, hub. And it feels like lots of games are doing this, and I feel like games that are based on score attacks or trials or time trials, literally time trials, don't need to do that. And I want to throw in loot boxes as well with that, because, like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be dismissive, but I couldn't give a fuck about the loot boxes in this game. Like, I could not give a shit about putting stickers on my wheels for this game, Chris. I'm sorry.
Mate, you don't apologise. I thought they were shit as well. I think it's redundant.
I think it's a negative,
in the grand
though.
Scheme of it.
It is redundant, and I think it's a negative, because in previous games, like further back in the series, like I say, it's just a menu. You can see the time, you can see the trial scores, sorry, the times of your mates, and you can hit go, and that was it, and it loads the level, and you've still got the instant restart thing, which is great. But in this, like, because they've gone all out with an avatar thing, I feel like that avatar thing's created a loading screen where there wasn't one, or wasn't a long one, like, because
it wants you to see what someone else has the same outfit as you.
Or because everyone keeps getting the same fucking duplicates when they open it. Yeah. I mean, I was opening 12 loot boxes at a time because I just wasn't interested, but the number was annoying me.
Yeah.
And I feel like, so I go to start a race, and there's perhaps you appear on my friends list and then two randomers, and it wants me to see what you're wearing. It wants me to see your pose that you've got, your pre-race pose. And then when I finish, it wants me to show the celebration. And everyone's got that one where they're slapping their ass going, it's like everyone's got the same one. And I feel like if you remove that, the game loads quicker. And on top of that, I feel like there's some strange frame rate issues I wasn't anticipating on this game, a PS4 Pro. Like, there are certain races where there's just like a frame skip. And I don't think you can have that in a game that's based on time trials. Like, I don't know if I got really unlucky. I had two hard crashes. One literally locked my PS4 up. The other one, it just stayed on the map, but I couldn't move at all, and it stayed there until I restarted the game.
See, I never had anything other than I had quite a bit of, like, freezing in between, like, in a race. Yeah. So I'm going down a slope, and then I'm just about to prepare for my takeoff, and then it kind of freezes
like
for a second,
almost.
And then I'm like
it loses a frame.
I've fallen off.
Yeah,
I did mention that. Yeah,
I also didn't have anything like that though. Okay, but
this is
one that obviously if this is your first trials game, you're not gonna know what I mean. Well, you're gonna know what I mean, but you're not gonna have the same. So basically, what I want to say is that I think there's quite a few levels in this game that require that there's bits that you go on where you have to stop and it propels you up, and like or propels you forward. You know what I mean? There's like
those
were quite sparingly used in previous games because I feel they're quite a random element. Like they are really about how you stop or what speed you're moving at or what angle you're at when you bounce, so to speak. And I feel like there's a lot of them that took away a bit of the skill. I feel like in the previous games it's all been about mastering the track and understanding it. I also think there's a lot of fucking grinding in this game. Like I feel like it wants you to just keep replaying. Like, there was two levels with the same course but with different, like, I don't know. I feel like the challenges are a detriment because, so like you might get a race that, you know, you want to just win a gold medal, but there's a challenge. It's like do 10 front flips, right? Now in a trials game, doing flips, you don't want to be in the air really, because the whole thing about trials is that when you're in the air, you're not moving forward. You want your wheels on the ground so you can go forward quickly, get the best time. So to throw challenges in that, like, do 10 front flips, it's almost like you have to burn a run. So you see it, you do a race, and it's like, challenge, do 10 front flips and only three faults. And you're like, right, well, I'm not going to even bother about getting gold medal. I'm just going to do the challenge and then do the race again, because you have to do the challenges, because otherwise you're not getting enough XP to level up to unlock the races. Like, you're level 42 and you're still only doing mediums, aren't you? Like, I can't even imagine. Like, I'm trying to get through this game and it just, I don't know, Chris. Like, you know, they've gone back to their roots a bit. Like, they've removed the trick system, but there's these races that are just like rally. I think they're like, what do you call them? Just motocross races where you just literally left to right doing ramps and you're racing against seven other people or whatever.
Yeah, the stadiums.
And
yeah.
You just have to do three of them in a row to get sort of complete it, don't you? And then later on, you get a sponsor pop up who's like, oh, I'm going to give you a fourth challenge, but that challenge is just to do those three things again. And it's left me quite cold. Like, it, not to have a go at Ubisoft, because I know, but I know that Red Lynx know how to make a trials game because I've played them all. And I worry that whereas before, it's always felt like Red Lynx's game. To me, this feels like it's taken quite a lot of influence from the Trials Frontier game, which was a mobile game, which was actually quite a good mobile game, just with not a great sort of shell to it. And I feel like the game, it does remind me a little bit of that, like a loot boxes and moving around a map. And it reminds me, the gameplay's still great, I will say. Like, it took me fucking forever to unlock the proper bike, where, you know, the one I mean. I can't remember. Is it Mantis, the third one?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the one you actually need if you're going to start doing serious trialsing, as it were. But it takes ages to unlock. Like, you have to be level 42 to unlock it. And if that sounds like a lot, it is a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, it's only this morning where it's like I sat down, I'm going, right, I'm just going to unlock this. I'm getting level 42. I don't care how much it takes. And I just sat there, and I think I played 4 hours, like, non-stop, just doing...
Yeah.
And in the past, I reckon that would have been a lot less.
It does get to a point where you start to really struggle to earn your XP and get to a higher level. So, like, you can start... Like, if you spend your money on the Helium, the mountain bike... That unlocks a load of new challenges as well, so you can earn some XP from that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all.
So that opens up new challenges.
It's not great telling you that.
No, it doesn't tell you that. You just find out. But then that will give you more opportunities for earning some XP. Where you have to finish.
I'm not trying to invalidate. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, With a Helium bike, because it's a lot slower, because it's a mountain bike, you've got challenges where you have to beat at the AI, but it's a lot harder than using, say, the Mantis or the Rhino or even the Squid at the start. Like, it's difficult because, you're on a mountain bike. So you do get, like, thousands of XP for that. So that comes in handy.
Okay, I might have to start to. It's like I say, I'm in no way trying to invalidate sort of like your review or anyone's review.
No, it's good to hear difference of opinions.
Well, yeah, no, I know, but I would love to hear sort of people who are in the same boat as me who've played like every Trials game. Just if it's just me, because I'll be honest with you, until Devil May Cry, I was getting a bit worried that oh my god, am I just not in love with games anymore? Because every game I was playing, like say Far Cry, New Dawn, I did not feel at all. Metro, not at all. Trials Rising, again, I do like the gameplay. I still like the gameplay, but the whole wrapping to the game feels a bit like it's even. I find the map awkward. Like I find it hard to tell what races I've done and what I haven't. And there's no filter option to just filter. Have I done this? And also, yeah. I don't give a flying fuck about what anyone who's a random is doing in this game. Populate my game with my friends and show me my friends' times. I don't need to see any more than that. I don't want to be dominant. I'm never going to be number one in the world. If you ever watch the replays, these people are crazy good. I do want to see my friends list and try and beat my friends. That's what Trials always was. Like, it was amazing the way on Xbox 360, like on Trials HD, to see their times and be like, I'm going to beat them. And it was amazing. And it's really weird that I'm seeing all these like weird names pop up. I just don't care about them. I don't care that they're wearing the same Evel Knievel outfit. I don't care that like this morning, I don't care that one of them's managed to use all the stickers to make himself be wearing the orange and black colours of Pornhub and has written Pornhub's logo across his chest. I don't care that you can do that. I don't want to see it. I don't care, unless it's my friend, in which case, if Chris, you've made a Pornhub jumper, then I'm going to say fair play to you, well done, you've owned that. But like, yeah, the racing's great, the trialsness is great, but all the rest of it, like, I it just feels a bit cumbersome. And again, I'm segueing myself. A review of yours I did totally agree with, Chris, was Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove. Because I've seen reviews of that, and again, I felt like I'm playing a different game.
Why? What are they saying? I've not actually read anyone else's.
I've read like 9 out of 10s and 8 out of 10s. Like, I'm not saying they're wrong.
9 out of 10?
Like, well, like, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I would defend that. But I it's a modern version of that first game, warts and all.
New gamers to this, like the younger audience,
like
who
my
didn't
kids
grow
who walked in
this,
and went, "What the hell are you playing?"
Yeah, they will not stay
those
with this game. There
mean.
Is no way. Like, I don't care how many games your parents have tried to show you from the past. This will not grab your attention because the way it plays is it's relatively dull, really. Like. Mm-hmm. You've got different. So after you go through the tutorial world, which is essentially a load of levels that show you the basis of the game and what you're supposed to do, you go into the actual game itself, and then you go through. You walk through a level from like isometric across a world which is populated by some fucking weird shit.
To be fair, a lot of that is from the original game. Like, oh, no, in your review, you mentioned, is it the hula hoop girl who makes you freeze? That's from the original game, isn't it? Like, and it annoyed me as much as it does then.
Yeah.
You know, it annoyed me
but
then,
like,
it annoyed me now.
This is it. Like, there's some annoying stuff in there. There are random things in there, like the game you play with those three like old has-been superheroes where you pay $2 to roll a dice, and if you roll a number, which I don't know what decides why, when or not, you get a bit of money, stuff like that. You can go and buy sushi from this dude behind a market bench. You can do all of it. You can pay an opera singer to sing. Like, it's just random shit, which is fine. And then you have to find the piece of the rocket ship. And there's other bits thrown in, like there's a rhythm game, there's a hyper funk zone, which is just you going from left to right.
But that was in the original as well. That was one of the better bits of the original, if I remember.
Yeah.
Or was it in the second one? Was it from the second one? Or was it in both?
Second one, I don't know if it was in the second one.
I wonder if it was in both, but I definitely remember it being one of my favourite parts of one of them.
Yeah. So
that wow noise when you sort of phase in. Yeah.
It's just the way you progress. It's just... I loved it as a kid, and I don't love it now. I think what they've done, like, it's exactly like the original and the way it feels and the way it is. But I don't know. I just feel we've moved on a bit.
It's a nice curio.
Go on.
To someone like myself, because I will say, right, I really love Toe Jam and Earl, and I'm going to say it. I really like Toe Jam and Earl 2. Now, I played Toe Jam and Earl 2 not that long ago, and I don't know how I liked it, but I did at the time. That's the important thing. You can't take back what, you know, once was. But I did like the first. The first one was good, and I like that they've added level up stuff in this game. I'm not sure it makes a huge difference, if I'm honest with you. It doesn't... Like, I like it, but it is that very much that 80s or 90s. I can't remember.
90s,
but
that
kind of Poindexter sort of, you know, that sort of... I don't know, cool spot, cool dude, ratitude, kind of. I don't know. I think you got it spot on, if I'm honest. I agree with your review, which people should read.
Yeah.
It's
all right.
I mean, to be fair, it was kickstarted, wasn't it? So, I mean, the people who backed it are going to get what they wanted, which was
exactly.
Game. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was nice to go into Devil May Cry, to be honest.
I just, not to go back to that chat, but a lot of games criticism, like nowadays, it's a bit like Anthem. I would a lot of the time, to the first few hours will still be, if it's a long game, the sort of 12th and 15th hour. Not the same, but you will get the gist of a game quite quickly. Mm. So to play a decent chunk of a game in a demo and dislike it as intensely as I did, to then play the final game and be as wowed as I am. Like, I think Devil May Cry 5 is probably the best game of the year so far. Like, I think it's better than Resi 2.
Yeah,
I think that's the... I mean, all right, we're in March. You know, all right, it's March. But I do think DMC5 is probably the best game so far this year, and I definitely wouldn't have thought that would be the case. Like, I don't want to...
That's a quarter of a year, though. Like, there's been a lot of games that have come out, and every game I've reviewed, I haven't been blown away at all, really. So it was not... And I never thought this would be the one, to be honest. So, I mean, I love it. Massively surprised.
We should mention Capcom. Well done. Mm. Like... To take Resident Evil and Devil May Cry in this year and have two... Have you actually played Resi 2, the final game, yet?
I've played... Yeah, I have. But it kind of between reviews. Not finished it, no. I'm about halfway through Leon's. And I will say I'm more on your side than Gary's regarding like Mr. X and that. That bugs me. I feel like I can't enjoy exploring and just having a look around, because as soon as I hear them footsteps, I'm just like, oh, fucking, I've got to run away again or whatever.
But yeah, I mean, like, Capcom are nailing it, Chris, at the moment, I would say. That's a long way to continue.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, let's a bit of a shorter episode this week, but let's move into listener correspondence. A question I actually forgot to ask last week from Darren on Twitter at ROTMM. Chris, you go first. Favourite piece of gaming memorabilia or swag? He says, I have a Brink t-shirt that I got from, he thinks, Game with the game purchase. It's minimalist, good quality and comfy. Sadly, it's more grey than black these days due to constant washing. He also says that this is obviously clearly aimed at me. It can't be an amiibo because they're evil. So what's your favourite piece of gaming memorabilia or swag?
Oh, man. I like my body bag.
I was wondering if you could...
Yeah, that was always cool. Yeah, for a cereal cleaner, I got a body bag sent to me.
That really was something, yeah.
Yeah, the Spyro Christmas jumper. I like that because it's Spyro and it's Christmas. But I don't really buy a lot of stuff. Like, I buy pop figures every now and again if it's something I'm massively into, and I bought a Nathan Drake pop figure. But that, like, I don't really buy gaming stuff, and I can't really think of anything. It tends to be, if I'm really into something, I'll get it. Like, I nearly bought one of the Bloodborne statues a couple of weeks ago just because it looked amazing.
Which one, sorry? Which statue?
One of the Hunter statues from Bloodborne.
Oh,
but then
yeah,
I just thought,
expensive.
What am I going to do with it?
What would you do with it?
There's not a lot, but probably the body bag.
I would say, I can't remember where it came from, but it's the same as Darren's. I have an Overwatch t-shirt from when the first came out. It wasn't from Blizzard. I don't know who sent it.
I do, yeah.
No, it's not one, because I got sent another one as well, same as you. This is... Oh, no, I'm not sure, actually. I don't know. It's a great T-shirt. You've probably seen it in videos. I have worn that today. I live in that T-shirt. It's just comfy. David Ayers, at David Ayers _, wants to know... this is going to be a terrible from me. Chris, what's your favourite musical?
Oh, peace. Oh, fuck. Right. This is genuinely a difficult question for me to answer.
Same.
Because I really love musicals.
Okay, for me, it's because I don't think I've ever really. I don't know if I've ever seen.
I've never been live to see one. I would really like to, but I've never physically been. I've watched a lot on TV and stuff.
I was going to ask, can I include the South Park movie? Because that kind of is a musical, isn't it? I would
say so.
I mean, if not, I'm going to have to say Frozen or something, because I just can't name a musical.
So, I really like Phantom of the Opera. I really love Little Shop of Horrors with Rick Moranis. Okay. I was also, little pop fact, when I was at college, I did music, and we were accompanying the drama group in their stage production of Jesus Christ Superstar. So we actually toured with them. I say toured, I sound like a fucking rock pretentious twat. But we went to different churches and performed Jesus Christ Superstars over a week, and I played the bass in the band. So I had to learn the shit out of that music. But that was really good fun. However, I'd have to say it's The Greatest Showman. Like that I've not stopped listening to that since it came out over a year ago. So The Greatest Showman.
Wow. I can't even think of what as much as I love music, it's not my area of musicals. I can't name one, I don't think.
Yeah. Some are shit. Like, I don't like the musicals where they just sing for the sake of it. Like, they're doing dialogue, but they sing the dialogue. Like, it has to have acting, then it has to have a set song. I can't, like, Sweeney Todd, they do that. They just sing every bit of dialogue almost, and it just annoys me. Like, I want a film or a show with like songs, like actual songs, and no pieces of music when they're trying to talk and sing over it and stuff. It just bugs me. But yeah,
okay.
I'm partial.
Darren has asked a question. I don't think either of us can answer because this is a public podcast. Anyone can listen to. Maybe we'll ask that answer under the Patreon one. But lastly, this week, McPoos, we haven't asked this for a while. You have to spend the next 24 hours in the world of the last video game you played. Will you survive, or will you have a nice time? For me, the last game I played is Trials Rising. I'll survive. Will I have a nice time? I'm not actually that into bikes and bike racing, but I do find it fascinating watching people do the real life trial stuff. Like, that's just ridiculous. Like, going up these hills on mental dirt bikes. It's scary. It just scares the shit out of you when you watch it. What about you, Chris? What's the last game you played?
So, the last game I played was The Occupation, which the review's online now, and that's basically set in northwest England in the 1980s. So, I'd probably survive. Although there's a bit of civil unrest, so I might get attacked by like in the riots. But I reckon I'd do all right. I'd just go and watch like You Bet or something. Maybe that wasn't on in the 80s. Was on in the 80s. I don't know. I was sat watching TV. Probably.
Well, and that is about it for this week. I'm sure it's a short podcast, but as you can hear from the games we've been playing, there's a lot going on, and it's a busy week. People are sick, people are busy. Chris, you were here. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
To everyone else, if you want to hear normally the podcast early, and we do bonus podcasts and all sorts of giveaways and early video access and stuff on patreon.com/godisgeek, $1 a month, $12 a year, that is. That's nothing for supporting this site, and we love doing it, and hopefully you enjoy, or love us doing it too. Chris, thanks very much for your time, and everybody else, we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye bye for now.